Okay, so we're still here in Siman Tzadi Tes, and we're discussing the issues of Ein Mevatel Nisul Chalchila, and we will continue to discuss the issues of Ein Mevatel Nisul Chalchila today and tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem, and we'll see what happens after that. But what we discussed last time was two times ago, I guess, was whether Ein Mevatel Nisul Chalchila is an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan. What? They lost me? They can't hear. So what do we do about this? Should I speak directly into this? Is this better? That's what we had already. Hello? Is that better? No? No good. Is that better? Is that work?
Does this one work?
Jed, anything?
No.
Oh, now you're hearing me. Okay, so I'm going to hold this mic. And this one doesn't work. Okay, I'll leave this one. But this one works too? Yeah? Is it only because this one is near me? I don't know. Okay, we'll have to figure this out. Maybe I'll leave it there. Is that good? Yes? Okay, so this is what we're going to go with. So, okay. What else I got to do? Oh. Okay. And it will work even if it's in here? Does it shut it off?
There's a power on and off.
No good. Okay, it's got to be like this. Better, Jed? Still no good. Oh, what did you do? Okay. Hello? Better. Okay, we're going to stick with this. We'll put it there. Hopefully that works. That works? Yes? Okay. Fantastic. All right. So, as we said, we're continuing the Sugya of Ein Mevatel Nisul Chalchila. We discussed whether it's an issue midaraisa or an issue midarabanan. We discussed how we paskin on that, l'may nafkamina, how we paskin on whether Ein Mevatel Nisul Chalchila is an issue daraisa or an issue darabanan. Now let's begin the discussion of mishen is batel b'shvilo. What if you are not the person who was actually mevatel the yisr, but someone was mevatel the yisr for your benefit? So this is a knast midrabanan that was made that not only to the person who did the bittul, Shulchan Aruch adds, also mishen is batel b'shvilo is also included in this yisr. The Rama then writes that if you are mevatel yisr chachila, it's asr not only for the guy who's mevatel b'yisr, not only for someone who's mevatel b'shvilo, he adds an additional knas that also l'machro gam kein liyisrael acher shlo yehanim mashabitlo. That you're not allowed to, not only can't you eat it, you can't even sell it to another Jew, because then you're going to get hanah from the fact that you're mevatel. So what's the nekuda over there? What are you not allowed to do? Are you not allowed to get hanah from the fact that you were mevatel it? Or do we just say that no, the knas is, this is machalos asuros. And if it's machalos asuros, it can't get eaten. So it can't get eaten by anybody. So it seems from the Rambam that shalo yehana mimasha bitlo, that it's an iser hana'a, that you're not allowed to get hana'a from the fact that you were mevatelit, and that's why you're not allowed to sell it to a Jew, which would imply, if you give it to a Jew, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with a Jew eating it, it's just a problem selling it to a Jew. So the Shach quotes in Issa V'Heter that you'd have to give it to the Jew for free. However, but the Shach says that, is that really the only way to avoid getting hana'a from it? No, meaning you could have sold it to a guy for sure, right? So if you could have sold it to a guy and you sell it to a Jew for the same price you could have gotten from a guy, that's also not getting hanah from it. So it's lav dafka that you have to give it to a Jew for free, says the Shach. You could give it you could sell it to a Jew for the same price that you could have gotten from a guy, and that would be fine, because then it would turn out that you didn't benefit from being mevatel liyisir. Rabbi Kiveger quotes a Tshuvas Harivash in some Tav Sadiches that says that even it becomes usher for a Jew who bought it, because he's considered mishen as batel b'shvilo, even though he knew nothing about it. Whoa! So that makes it even worse. that if you sell it to a Jew, it's going to be usher for him, not only that it's usher for you, the guy who did the bittul, because you're not allowed to get hana'a from your bittul, where the Shach has a pretty good point, that if you're charging the same price you would have charged anyway, you're in fact not getting hana'a for the bittul. But even, says Rabbi Kivega in the name of the Rivash, the guy who buys it is usher, because he's considered mishen is batel b'shvilo. It seems that the Taz disagrees with this, because the Taz in Sifka and Yud quotes a marshal, that it's only a problem if a guy who was being nisbatel for knew and was happy about it. But if he had no idea at that time, then he can eat it. He's not considered Mishan as Batel B'Shvilo unless he was already in the picture at the time of the Bittul. If later on he enters the picture as a customer, the Taz sounds like it would not be a problem. So the Sefer Kinyan Deya just points out that there was a situation in Eretz Yisrael once, that a company mixed milk from Trefus with kosher milk, right, which may or may not happen all the time, but there was a mixture of Trefa milk with kosher milk, and it was batel, or it was a ratio enough to become batel, and there was a whole discussion whether you could buy the milk. So it might depend on this machlokas between the Rivash, quoted by Rabbi Kivager, and the Marshal, quoted by the Taz, where the Rivash, quoted by Rabbi Kivager, says that it's aser for the person who bought it, because whoever buys it is mishan, is batel b'shvilel. Whereas the Marshal, quoted by the Taz, says, no, he wasn't in the picture, the customer wasn't in the picture at the time of the bittul, and the mele is not considered mishan, is batel b'shvilel. Rav Moshe, in Tshuvin, in Igros Moshe, Yodei Chelet Beis, Simon Mem Aleph points out the following. He says, you know, if you look in the Beis Yosef, when the Beis Yosef talks about the Knas, Lemishan is Batel B'Shvilo, what's the reason for that Knas? Why do we make a Knas on even the person who was in this Batel for, but who didn't do the actual Maisa of Bittel? So the Beis Yosef quotes two reasons. Only one of them makes it into the Shach over here, but the Beis Yosef quotes two reasons. Reason number one, says Beis Yosef, is that he's benefiting from Ma'asav Haraim. He did a bad thing. You're not allowed to be Mevatel Isser. He was Mevatel Isser, and therefore that's going to bring benefit if he's able to then sell it to a Jew. And number two, he says, it will lead him to come to instruct a non-Jew to be Mevatel B'Shvilo. That you'll come to do Amir Lakum. That I know that I'm not allowed to be Mevatel and Isser, so if I'm allowed to be a customer, then I'll get someone in the future, I'll ask someone to be Mevatel for me, I'll ask a Nachri to be Mevatel for me. The Shach in Sivkat Niralf only quotes the second reason. Right, Shach writes, "Di ishari lemishan is batel b'shvilo, chayshinan dilma asi lemeimer la'akum ola eved sheivatlenu hilchah kansinan leved." Every time the guy runs into an iser, he's just going to ask, he's going to find a non-Jew and have someone be mevatel for him. He does not quote the first reason, that's part of being nene mima'as of haroim. He only quotes the second reason in the Shach. Now, if that's really the primary reason, then there may be a distinction between somebody who knew that somebody who knew that you're being mevatel for him and somebody who doesn't know, and that would mean that the Shach really agrees with the Taz b'shem the Marshal against Rabbi Kivager b'shem the Rivash, who doesn't distinguish whether the person knows or not. Because Rabbi Kivager assumes that the reason is Hanu Ma'asav Haroim, meaning these two deos in the Beis Yosef are in fact the two deos in the Rivash and the Marshal, or however you like to say it, Rabbi Kivager and the Taz, whether it's a Hanu Ma'asav Haroim or whether it's Mevatel B'Shvilo. This is the equation Rav Moshe makes. Rav Moshe says, and it therefore turns out that the Shach is in agreement with the Taz, that it's only a problem if the guy who was being this Batel B'Shvilo was aware of it, was already in the picture. If he had no idea, then it would not be a problem, because that aligns with the concern of Asi L'Meimer La'akum Ola Eved She'Yivatlenu. But as far as Ahanu Mimasav Haroim, it wouldn't really matter if the guy knew about it or didn't know about it. That's Rav Moshe's cheshbon. That's the equation Rav Moshe makes. And that it matters, because if you're going to try to figure out, let's say in the case of the Israeli company that had the trefa milk mixed with the, where they were dafka, were mevatel the trefa milk and the kosher milk, and now they want to know, can they sell that milk, or do we assume that it's aser for the customers? You're going to want to know where the shach comes out on this, right? Because, you know, most often we paskin like the shach. So you have a machlokas rivash and marshal, a machlokas rikivegra and the taz, that can go either way. But once you're able to align the shach with one of those opinions, that's going to really sway the halacha. So that's Ramesh's cheshbon, that the shach seems to be aligned lekula with the taz and the marshal by virtue of the fact that the shach only quotes one of the Beis Yosefs two reasons for the knas of lemishan es batel b'shvilo. The problem is, I saw this in the Sefer Peros Habayis that was written by an old chavrusa of mine, Rabbi Asher Fruchter, who's a Rosh Kollel somewhere in Ramat Eshkol, and he writes in his Sefer, that's the Sefer I've quoted a bunch of times already, that when Rosh Fruchter saw it, he said, wow, I thought I knew Yaradeya, this guy really knows Yaradeya. So that was all the haskama I needed to look at the Sefer a lot. I don't understand most of the Sefer. It's very hard. He writes in a very difficult style, but because he assumes like 18 steps before you get to. But anyway, he pointed this much I understood. I think he points out that if you look in the Marshal, he actually does not quote the reasons cited in the Shach, and he seems to assume that it's based on an Ahanumas of Haroyim. So it turned out that it's a little bit funny that Ramesh's cheshbon is off, that for some reason the Marshal doesn't work out the way, meaning Ramesh's whole diuk is that from the fact that the Shach quotes the reason that he quotes, it must be that he holds like the Marshal. The Marshal himself doesn't quote that reason of the Shach. He quotes the other reason, or at least alludes to the other reason. So Rav Fruchter has a mahalik in that Marshal, but not for now. Okay, so this is the knas of Mishan is batel b'shvilo. For whatever reason, whether it's the reason the Shach brings or it's the other reason the Beis Yosef brings, this is the knas, that even the person who you're mevatelit for is not allowed to get hana'a from the bitul iser. In Shiurei Arav, in Simen Pei, Oz Beis, Rav Soloveitchik points out that the Magen Avraham in Shin Yud Ches, we discussed that sugya last time, the connection between Maisa Shabbos and Bitul Iser L'Chadchila. So Magen Avraham in Shin Yud Ches says that the Knas of Maisa Shabbos is very similar to the Knas of Mevatel Iser L'Chadchila, and it therefore would turn out that if a bakery was baking on Shabbos, the Rivash would say that you're never allowed to buy that product, meaning you're not allowed to be a customer because you become Mishan is batel b'shvilo. Whereas the Taz would say, you are allowed to buy that product. You're not Mishan is batel b'shvilo just because you're the customer. Magen Avraham then says, though, that from the Beis Yosef in Yaradeya, it sounds that we only make a knas, the Mishan is batel b'shvilo, by Mvatel Isul Chachila, but not by Maisa Shabbos. Even though initially he seems to say that there's an equivalency, he's not sure that that's true la halacha. So Rav Meisha Soloveitchik explained the potential chiluk when it comes to. It's not working. Rav Meisha Soloveitchik explained the potential chiluk when it comes to the when it comes to Maisa Shabbos, meaning and Bitul Isul Chachila. Why would there be a distinction? I mean, why is it that there would be a special knas l'mishan zbatul b'shvilo by Bitul Isul Chachila and not by Maisa Shabbos? So Rav Meisha Soloveitchik is quoting the Shiurei Rav and saying as follows: as far as it relates to Maisa Shabbos, what's the knas for? The knas is because you violated malacha, and the person that it was done b'shvilo didn't do any malacha. The other guy did malacha. Someone else cooked. The guy you cooked for didn't cook. So you can understand that maybe Mishan is batel b'shvilo is not really the same. There's no need to make a knas on Mishan is batel b'shvilo. He didn't end up doing anything. But when it comes to being batel isul chachila, the hana'ah is really the etzem ha'avera of being mevatel yisr. Meaning, why can't I be mevatel yisr? Because in the end of the day, I'm benefiting from being mevatel yisr. Well, who's benefiting? Mishan is batel b'shvilo is the one who's really benefiting. Meaning, since the core issue by the two cases is different, when it comes to Shabbos, the core issue is you did malacha. So a guy who did nothing didn't do malacha. Misha shenasa b'shvilo, you cooked for me, I still didn't do malacha. But when it comes to bitul isul chachila, it's don't enjoy the iser, don't use the iser, don't be nana from the iser. So the guy who ultimately gets the hana, Mishan is batel b'shvilo, is definitely part of that parsha. And Rav Meisha Soloveitchik says, I'll bring you a pashut raya, that when it comes to bittul, it's the chalchil. It's got nothing to do with the mice of bittul. It's all about getting the nuts, right? We mentioned on whatever it was on Thursday, I think. If I have basar nevela, say I buy meat at a store, and then I discover afterwards, you know, they send out a kashrus alert. All meat bought in this store on this day was all nevela. So I have basar nevela in my fridge. I also have some old kosher meat in my fridge. And I'm not going to be home for the next few days. I'm not going to eat it. It's never going to get eaten. So I want to throw it all out. So am I allowed to put it all together in one bag and throw it out? So Rabbi said, of course you're allowed to. Here you are. You're being mevatel the nevela with the kosher meat. You're not clearly labeling them. So it's going to be mevatel chad betray batel. You're taking two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of nevela, sticking them in the same garbage can. No one could distinguish them from each other anymore. No, of course you're allowed to do it. It's not a violation of being mevatel l'sil chachila. It's only when you decide to eat it that it's a violation of being mevatel l'sil chachila. Why? Because it's not only about the bittel of the yisr, it's not the mice of bittel that we're worried about, it's the hana'a that you're subsequently going to get from that mice of bittel. In fact, I think in a footnote over there, or maybe in the text, I don't remember, he quotes the pre Toar in Simon Sadit, that this is actually machlokas achronim, whether that's true. Meaning, is it really true? Rabbi Salvation is a dumb pasha, that if I have a piece of nevela, two pieces of kosher meat, I could throw them together in a bag and chuck them. Is that true? Can I necessarily do that? So it's a machlokas achron. The pre Toar in Simon Saditas, Sif Katan Ches, says that if you want to send three pieces of meat to a guy, and one of the pieces is nevela, you should be careful not to mix them with each other. Sending it to a guy, what difference does it make? Yeah, that's a violation of Vein Mevatel Nisil Chalchila as well. However, if you look in the Gilyon Marsha, on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, on the Taz, in Sivkat and Tazvav, he says, Umi Ika Lamadi Omar, Da Asr Lahashlich Isser Veheter Aldas, Isser Veheter Aldas Lahashlich Kola Terovis Liyam? Do you think anyone would say that you're not allowed to take Isser and Heter and put them together in order to throw them into the ocean? Clearly, assuming like Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, right? That's Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's yisod. So based on that, Rav Soloveitchik explained the shita of the Issur v'Heter that the Shachar quoted in explaining the Ramah. Now, what did the Issur v'Heter say? That you're not even allowed to sell to a Jew for the same price that you would sell to a non-Jew. Why? So the Shach was bothered with this, because if you could have gotten the same amount of money from a non-Jew, then you're not getting hana'ah from the fact that you're mevatel the Isser. You anyway could have sold it to a non-Jew for the same price. So you're not getting any hana'ah from the fact that a Jew bought it. So comes Rav Soloveitchik and he explains that the Isser to be mevatel Isser l'chachila is that you can't do something with the Isser that you would not have otherwise been allowed to do with it without bittel. Meaning to do with the Isser, once you've been mevatel it, something that you would not have been able to do without bittel, that itself is a problem. Without bittel, you would never have been allowed to sell this to a Jew. I don't care what price. Now that you've done bittel, you also can't sell it to a Jew, even for the same price. It would also turn out, according to this Vart, that it comes out even worse than we thought. Not only can't you sell it to a Jew even for the same price, you can't even give it to a Jew. Because the point is that you can't do anything with it that you could not have done with it had you never been mevatel it. Because we don't view bittul as l'chachila from the perspective of the maisa bittul, that I'm doing this act of bittul. It's one continuum with the maisa bittul leading into the achila, leading into the benefit of the maisa bittul. So if the benefit of the maisa bittul could not have been done without that bittul, then you can't do it with the bittul. That's the knas. So bottom line, it comes up a lot of times. If a company wants to be mevatel iser in a product, can a hashkacha allow it? Can a hashkacha allow a company to be mevatel? So a Jewish company, okay, we're going to say no way, right? Because we're certainly going to say that it's called nisbatel b'shvilo for their customers. Okay, you know, that we're not going to allow. But what if you have a non-Jewish company? Can a hashkacha allow a non-Jewish company to be mevatel iser l'chachila? So, in the Badei HaShulchan, in the Biurim, in Dibur HaMaskel Shinus Batel B'Shvilo, he first suggests that even the Rivash would be Mekel. Because the whole Chumrah of the Rivash was only for a Jew. But a non-Jew, that does it on his own, wouldn't generate the Isser on the food. I mean, even the Rivash, who's machmir, the Rivash that Rabbi Akiva quoted, that it even becomes asr for the Jew who bought it. That's only if he bought it from a Jew. That's only if it's definitely a continuation of the original Maisa Bittel. But if the original Maisa Bittel was done by a guy, then it's not going to be a problem. However, in the end, the Badei HaShulchan assumes l'chumra. Because as a hashkacha, I'm allowing them to make that food. So that's considered Jewish participation in the Bittel HaShulchan. The guy is coming, not just doing it, they're doing it with the hashkacha of the Jewish hashkacha agency. And that's considered that the Jewish hashkacha is being mevatel the Yisr l'chachila. He writes, Kol shetzivahu Yisrael, havalei ki'ilu aso ha-Yisrael ba'atzmo. When a Jew is instructing him, then that's the Jew doing it. And therefore, it doesn't matter who's physically doing it. It's the fact that the Jew is there approving of it, that's the same as the Jew doing it. That's how the Badei HaShulchan writes. Rabbi Sablovsky was not sure that that's correct. He said, how does Hashkacha normally work? A company comes to a Hashkacha agency and they say, look, we'd love to make cookies. Give us a recipe. That's not how it works, right? They don't. The Oreo people did not call up the OU one day and say, "We think we have a factory. We're ready to make cookies. We just need your recipe. Let us know what we should put in it." And the Jewish company tells them what's put in it. That's not the way it works. They say, "Here's our recipe. This is what we're doing. Is this okay? You know, are you gonna give your stamp of approval on this? What needs to be altered? Okay, maybe we'll alter something. But generally speaking, the recipe is the recipe." So they're not, you know, it's not that we're instructing them to be mevatel. We're saying, okay, if that's your recipe, that's kosher. If that's your recipe, that's not kosher. So Sabalovsky was not convinced that this is called bitzuris l'chachila. It's totally academic. In real world hashkacha, in a million years, it would never happen, right? Certainly with a reliable hashkacha. You don't let non-kosher products into the building when you're giving hashkacha. You can't say, oh, well, you know, since the Goyish company is being mevatel, so as long as they keep the ratio of, you know, less than 1/60, so it's okay if they put a little chazer schmaltz in all the triple stuff Oreos or something, right? You know, there's no way. There's no way you can keep an eye on such a thing. You never allow non-kosher food into the building. I remember once when I was in Smicha here, when I was your age, I did one of those Ask OU programs in the summer. You spend 3 weeks going around seeing all the OU kashra stuff. So they took us to a company that made Drake's cake products and also made like Twinkies, which at the time, I don't know if Twinkies are kosher now or not, I'm not sure, but at the time, they were not kosher. Twinkies were not kosher. They were generally made in bakeries that were non-kosher bakeries, non-kosher factories. But over here, they were producing kosher things, and they were producing Twinkies. So those Twinkies were absolutely kosher, meaning they never would, the OU could not allow a non-kosher ingredient into the building. So they said, look, it's not going to have an OU on it, because that would be confusing to people if, like, three quarters of the Twinkies in the supermarket was not kosher, and then some of the boxes had an OU on it. That would be confusing. But there's no way we're allowing them to use their normal recipe for the some products could come from animal derivatives or from vegetable derivatives. So they required for that product that they for that company that they come from vegetable derivatives. I remember there was a guy that was with us, that was in our group, that was moving to Des Moines, Iowa. And he was very nervous about finding kosher food in Des Moines. So he memorized the serial number on the factory on the box, so that he'll know which Twinkies he could buy in his local supermarket in Des Moines, Iowa. But yeah, so as a practical matter, it would never ever happen. Yeah, I'm going to get to the questions right now. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Why isn't selling it to a Goy Hanoa also? No, meaning you're allowed to sell Isser to, you could sell Nevela to if Nizdam Nelo, you're not allowed to make a business of selling Nevela, but you're allowed to sell Nevela to a guy. So it's not Hana of the Bitulus and the Chachila kind of Hana. Right? Is that clear? Yeah. Dov, is this true even for Amino the Nachmin? Does this assume the Pasa Amino Nachmin is also by Shari Sum, or is something unique to Bitulus? Right, so that's really the discussion, right? Is this a violation of a? I mean, Shema Yomer LeNachmi LeVatel DeShvilah? Is that It may not be a regular amira l'nachri. It may just be that that you're benefiting from the yisurei achila in a way that you shouldn't by having a nachri cover for you. Wouldn't this valuable should be totally on if they take the Jewish customers into account and decide how much? Yeah, that could very well be, right? Meaning, if there's enough of a Jewish customer base that they would take the Jewish customers into account, you could certainly argue that's called nisbat l'shvila. But again, according to this lamdas, any time you are getting hana'a from it, from the end product, that would be subject to that machlokas, right? Is that according to this lamdas of Moshe Soloveitchik, that's part of the isur, being mevatel the isur. Nachi, what about English muffins? What about the meaning that they're mevatel the milk in the... in the progress of Bittul Isin. Schechter said the OU is machmir by Coke on Pesach, that they need to change their recipe for this reason, even though Kitnius is Bittul Barov. Yeah, he always mentions this. Since giving Ashkacha would be Bittul L'chachila. That's why they require special Pesach Coke due to the corn syrup in the normal recipe. Yeah, Rav Shechter always mentions that. Meaning, again, Rav Sablowski, like the Badei HaShulchan, that if you're giving a Rav Shechter, yeah, I should have pointed that out. Rav Shechter definitely clearly holds like the Badei HaShulchan on this. That if you're giving Ashkacha, you're clearly saying that you're certifying that every last thing in this is perfectly fine, and there's no Bittul Isur involved. I seem to recall Rav Shechter saying, so therefore, if you're stuck on a plane or something, and all they have is regular Coke, okay, so then it's batel. But maybe according to the Islamists, it's not. I don't know. Well, that's not an issue, that's just a minug. Okay. Good? Yeah, okay, so let's go back to it. Also with Coke, you should realize corn syrup, obviously kitnius is only a minug, and whether corn syrup is kitnius was machlokas among Ashkenazi Poskim, obviously our minug is to be machmir on that. That was the big... that was the big tumult with Barton's candy back in before my time, in the old days. There was a Chashuv Talmud Chacham from Cedarhurst, Rabbi Nachum Kornmel, who was a Chashuv Talmud Chacham. He was a dayan in Vilna at the age of like 19 or something, and his name was Kornmel. That's a little funny. it just struck me now. Okay, so he was the rabbi of the Young Israel of Lawrence Cedarhurst. He was the founding rabbi of Israel Lawrence Cedarhurst. So he was like a dayan at the age of like 17 or 19 in Vienna, and then he wrote tshuvas. He was a very, very big Talmud Chacham, and he was the Rav HaMachshir of Barton's candy, and he gave Ashkacha for Pesach, even though they used corn syrup, apparently. He thought that May kitnius don't have a din of kitnius. It's a big tumult in Eretz Yisrael like this also, where the May kitnius has a din of kitnius. I think Rav Cook was making, and Rav Soloveitchik was very upset. Rav Soloveitchik, you know, so that was like the only kosher Pesach candy on the market, and Rav Soloveitchik announced publicly no one could use Barton's candy for Pesach. So there's a whole to do about that. But anyway, so Rav Soloveitchik, ultimately his opinion prevailed, obviously, and we don't use corn syrup on Pesach. Okay, next little piece. What's the relationship between Bittul Isur L'Chachila and Chaticha Nasa Nevela? Meaning, Bittul Isur L'Chachila comes in three forms. You know, the classic case that we've been talking about is the least common case. That a person takes, he's got a piece of Nevela, and he's like, a shame that this should go to waste. So he throws it into his chalent. Because anyway, it's more than 60-to-1 ratio. There's more chalent than there is Nevela, so it's okay. So that's you know, one form of Bittul Isur L'Chachila. More commonly, Bittul Isur L'Chachila is that there already is, and the Gemara talks about this, there already is a tarovus of Isur and Heter, but you don't have enough Heter to be Mevatel the Isur. You have a 40-to-1 ratio, not a 60-to-1 ratio, so you're marble of Heter or Mevatel. You add a bunch more Heter in order to be Mevatel it. There is a third type that the Gemara talks about, and that is you take something that cannot become Batel for a technical reason, and you alter it so that it's now eligible for Bittul. Meaning that's what we spoke about with the smoothies, with the pulverizing the soup. It's way more than 60-to-1 ratio, but it can't become Bittul because it's a beria. So now, can I take away the beria status so that it will become Bittul? That's a third form of Bittul. Parenthetically, there's a discussion. Can you take something that has a tam l'shvach and give it a tam pagum? Make it disgusting, and then be mevatel. So there's a discussion, the Ad Ephraim over here quotes a machlokas between, stunningly actually, a machlokas between the Chacham Tzvi and the last person on earth that you think would argue with the Chacham Tzvi, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden goes against the Chacham Tzvi about this, and the Ad Ephraim is stunned that that would happen. You have to look carefully at the Chacham Tzvi and see if Rabbi Yaakov Emden is really going against the Chacham Tzvi. They might be talking about different cases, but be that as it may. So the Rishonim talk about the following. The case of Mosavel of Heter Mavakla, right? That middle case. You already have a Tarovus and you're Mosavel of Heter. You can't just look at it from a Bitalism Chachila perspective. You also have to look at it from the perspective of Chatich Anasis Nevela, which is a sugya that we didn't do because it's primarily a Basa B'chalik sugya. So we're going to get to it in much greater detail in a couple of months from now. But let's just get some of the basics over here. Right, if you take 50 ounces of basar and you mix it with 20 ounces of chalav, what do you have? You have 70 ounces of basar b'chalav. Chaticha nasan vela. The entire thing is basar b'chalav. That's for sure, right? Chaticha nasan vela is definitely a principle when it comes to basar b'chalav. What about by shari surim? If we apply chaticha nasan vela by shari surim, that means that if I have a 40-to-1 ratio of heter to iser, I now have, let's say, 40 ounces of heter, 1 ounce of iser, I have 41 ounces of iser. So what, marbel of heter and vatel, what am I going to do? I'm going to throw in another 20 ounces? Now I have 41 ounces of iser to 20 ounces of heter. It doesn't work. It's not going to be vatel. You would need to come up with 60 times the entire tarovas, the entire initial tarovas, if we apply chaticha nasan vela. So how are we to view this whole concept of marbel of heter mevatlo in light of the fact that there's a principle of chaticha nasan vela, that the initial taroves, if there wasn't a sheer bittul in the initial taroves, the whole thing becomes aser and stays aser. So if you hold like Rabbeinu Ephraim, the sheet of Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there is no such thing as chaticha nasan vela b'shari surim, chaticha nasan vela is only a din basa b'chalav, okay, you're home free. Right, Chatir Nazavel doesn't apply to Shari Surim, it only applies to Basa Mechalev. Great, okay, so now I understand Marbel of Heter Mevatlo. Good, but what do you do if you hold like the other Rishonim? You know, if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam and the other Rishonim, that there is such a concept of Chatir Nazavel even by Shari Surim. So the Rishonim point out that the concept of Marbel of Heter Mevatlo must be limited to cases where we don't apply chaticha nasan vela. What's that? When do we not apply chaticha nasan vela? Yavesh b'yavesh. By a tarovis of yavesh b'yavesh, we don't apply chaticha nasan vela. And according to some Rishonim, a cold lach b'lach. If you have a lach b'lach mixture, that's not hot, according to some Rishonim. We'll get, again, chaticha nasan vela, so you will get to. In fact, the Rama paskins that the entire idea of marbel of heter levatzo, the Rama writes, Dafka shenis ariv, yavesh bi yavesh, afilu lach b'lach l'man yamashen om b'chanan. Or lach b'lach, if you hold this no chanan. Avol chatich shabola iser lo mahani shen itos avach kachay at adar mir b'chanan. But if you have a chaticha that was balua with iser, so it's not going to help afterwards to add extra heter to it, because the whole chaticha already became nevela. So that's what the Rambam points out. That is not a chiddush l'chora. I mean, obviously, if you say chanan, then you can't say marbel of heter mevatlo. Then the Rama adds a chiddush, and the Rama says, "V'yesh omrin da'afilu b'makom de'lo amrin chanan." Even in cases where we don't apply chaticha nasan vela, lo mahani a heter levatel ele in mitosav kodem sheno da'at haroves. Oh, this is already a chiddush. What happens? 40 ounces of kosher with 1 ounce of nevela, and then I add 20 more ounces of kosher, good, so it should be mevatelit. That only works if you added the extra 20 ounces before you knew about the original tarovas. Avlim noda tarovas kodem lo mahani mashinitos of achrakach. If you were aware of the tarovas prior to adding the 20 ounces, even if you don't say chaticha nasan vela, it's not going to work. Ulefi ze hayatzarech hachacham hamora levatel iser lachker mitosav aheter lachas shenoda. He says it would turn out that on the rabbi's checklist of questions, when someone comes with a shaila, the rabbi needs to ask, wait a second, were you aware of the tarovas before you added more heter? And he says, but v'lo nagu kein, no one does that. Rabbi says, how much nevela was it? How much kosher is it? Okay, bittel, fine, that's it. No one ever asked that question. Were you aware of an initial tarovis before a second tarovis? So the Rama says, even though there's a yesh omer that has this gevaldik chiddush, that even if you don't say chanan, it only helps to be mosif heter. When lo no da tarovis, we're not knowing that way. So Salvechik in Shurei Rav in Simon Pei Gimel Os Aleph explains what's behind this Rama. What's this word of no dat harovis? Why should it matter? Meaning we're not saying chatichanas nevela anyway. So why would no dat harovis make a difference? So if Salvation explains that it needs to be understood in the broader picture of the sugi of kama kama batal. There's a machlok rishonim whether we say kama kama batal not only when Isra falls into heter, but when heter falls into Isra. Meaning what is kama kama batal? Meaning what's the classic case of kama kama batal? I have a giant pot of kosher chicken soup. A little drop of nevela falls in. Another little drop falls in. So how do I cheshbin the bittel? Do I cheshbin the bittel based on the whole tarovas now versus the little drop that just fell in? Or do I assume that there's that it's cumulative? So kama kama bittel is the principle, or is the idea, the possibility that each item becomes bittel, and then next one that falls in goes against the ratio that you look at is the entire tarovas before it had fallen in klape what just fell in. So as machlok shon, do we say kama kama batal when not only when Isra falls into heter, but when heter falls into Isra? Meaning, let's say it was the other way around. You have not the other way, but let's say you have 30 ounces of Isra and an ounce of heter. I'm sorry, 30 ounces, an ounce of Isra and 30 ounces of heter falls in. Right? So it's not shishin. It's 30 ounces of heter. So maybe it's batel to the iser, that you say kama kama batel, that it becomes aser. So Rashi writes in Avod Zara Ein Gimel, Dibra Maschel Hetera Ein Gimel Amar Aleph, that when heter gets mixed into iser, we say kama kama batel, and therefore even if you end up with a 60-1 ratio of heter to iser, it's not going to be batel. But the Ramban disagrees. And he says that kama kama batel only applies to heter by yayin nesach, not by shari surim. So Rashi holds that once the heter has become batel in the Isra, whatever you had afterwards is a new tarovas. And the halacha is that you're not allowed to combine shishim from two different tarovas. And that's aligned with what the Rama quotes in B'shem Niyesh Omer, in the Isra v'heter. The Ramban holds that shishim from the two tarovas work together. That's aligned with the minhag of the Rama, that we don't apply kama kama batel. We say that it has a cumulative effect. Okay, so what do we have so far? We have the basic principle of chanan and how the Rama quotes how we apply chanan into a case of marbalav heter mevatlo, right? With the basic principle, not such a chiddush, right? That it's dafka when we don't say chanan, that's where you could say marbalav heter mevatlo. Then we have the Isra v'heter, which is a potential chiddush that the Rama rejects. He says, lo nagu kein, that even if you don't say chanan, it only works when lo noda heter. Then there's a third chiddush of the Rama, but it's not in the Rama, only in the Darkei Moshe, a third comment of the Rama. So again, we have the basic, which seems to be logically compelling, and paskin lahalacha, that this whole idea of marbel of heter mevatel is only when you're not saying chatichin as nevela. You have the chiddush that Rama quotes from the Isra v'heter, which the Rama himself rejects, and of Salvation explains that it's based on the machlokas Rashi Ramban about kama kama batel. And then you have another chiddush of the Rama, a third comment of the Rama that appears only in Darkei Moshe, also a quote from the Isra v'heter, and it goes in the other direction. That let's say you do apply chatichanas nevela, even in cases where we do apply chatichanas nevela, that would only be true. Chatichanas nevela would only take effect when it's no da tarovas. And now you want to be marba lav heter. But if you never knew about the tarovas in the first place, even in situations that you normally say chatichanas nevela, it does not become nevela. It does not become operative. Wow. So normally, let's assume you hold chetik nas nevel b'shar yisur, and you have a tarovas that's not enough to be mevatel yisur. So we should say chetik nas nevel. The whole thing is a problem, right? If I didn't know about it and then I added more heter, then it's fine. The yediyah is going to affect the nasis nevela. So the shach in Sifchat Tzvav says, according to that, the chiddush of the Ramah in his Hagala Shulchan Aruch, right, is that even when we don't say Chanan, if there was no da tarovus, it would be a problem. The chiddush is not that lo no da is mutter, because that's even more obvious in a non chatir nas nevela situation. Meaning, if the Ramah is true that we're going to say lo no da is mutter even when chatir nas is nevela, of course you're going to say lo no da is mutter when it's a non chatir nas nevela situation. So the whole chiddush of the Ramah, if he really holds what he wrote in Darkei Moshe, is that when we don't say chanan, is that even when we don't say chanan, if it were no da ta'aroves, then that would create a problem. So if a guy knows that he has a problem, he would be amazing and can't be mevatel anyway. And if he was a shogeg, he'll be allowed to eat the food because there's lo no da ta'aroves. The Ramah does not quote this in Shulchan Aruch, but the Shach brings what the Ramah quotes in Darkei Moshe, and he addresses it and he totally rejects it. And the Shach says it can't be right. And he has several rayas. It's a long Shach. And he says misvara, it's not right. You know, iba yisei makrai, iba yisei misvara. He says let's just bring one basic raya, that Rishonim worked very hard to make Rabbeinu Tam's shita about chatir nas nevela work. Again, we're not there yet about chatir nas nevela, but Rabbeinu Tam's shita that we say chatir nas nevela b'shar yisurim not only by basar b'chalav seems to be mufrach from many different gemaras. There are a lot of sugyas that seem to be against Rabbeinu Tam, and you got to go like this to read the gemaras according to Rabbeinu Tam, whereas Rabbeinu Ephraim seems to be much smoother. So Rishon tried to figure out how Rabbeinu Tam is going to read all of those gemaras that sound like we don't say Chanan Bishari Surin. So says the Shach, simple solution. One simple solution, you can answer all those gemaras. If this dark emotion is correct. Even if you hold, we normally do say Chanan Bishari Surim, you're not going to say it when Lo No Da Taravas. Make one giant Ukimta in all those Gemaras. Just say all those Gemaras are talking about Lo No Da Taravas. Ah, Lo No Da Taravas, okay, good. So then you're not going to say Chatich Nas Nevel. Why didn't anybody think of that? Just say those sugyas are simply when there's Lo No Da Taravas, and therefore there was no Chanan. From the fact that nobody before the Yisr V'Heter brought that up, it must be that No Da Taravas is no bearing. That's Iba Yisema Kra. Iba Yisema Svara. It makes no sense that No Da Taravas should make a difference with Chatich Nas Nevela. Chatich Nas Nevela is based on the physical reality that there is a Taravas here. You have a Cheftza Shalisr in front of you. So you have this reality called the Chafsa Shalis. The Shach formulates it. Mikol Makom, Divrei Yisr Beheter Ha'aruch, Vaharav, meaning the Ramah, Tzoruch Iyun. Dikivan, Dikai Melen Chanan, once you hold Chatecha Nas Nevela, Imkei Miyad Shenis Arva Nasis Nevela, Umabazeh Shalom Noda, who cares that you don't know about it? Mikol Makom, Miyad Nechshav Chatecha Nevela. In fact, the Shach in Sifkan Tzvav says, "Ulai haramah chazer bo mimashakasa b'taras chatas." That the Ramah must have changed his mind. That's why he doesn't quote it in the Ramah. That's why he doesn't quote it in the Agam Shulchan Aruch. The Pischei Tshuva in Sifkan Tzvav quotes Rabbi Kivei that there's no ulai about it. For sure, the Ramah changed his mind from this. The Ramah was certainly chazer. And he brings a raya from Simenai and Gimel, where clearly the Ramah assumes Chanan, even though you don't know about it till later. Just give me 2 minutes to finish up this shtickle, and then we'll go to questions. To give a little bit of svara to this, Rav Soloveitchik suggests in Shiri Rav Simpei Gimel Os Beis that the Ramah in Simen Sadi Beis Siv Dalid says that we don't say Chatich Nas Nevela B'Shar Yisurim unless there's an Isur Davuk. What does that mean? That it's touching the Chatichas Heter. that only then will we say chatir nasver, that the iser is attached to the piece of heter. So on the surface it's very difficult, because if that's true, then nothing should ever become batel. Why? Because what's going to happen? Iser is going to fall into a pile of heter. So first it will give time to whatever is like in its immediate vicinity. Right? And then slowly, over time, the tam will spread through the rest of the pot. Right? If you have a chalent pot and a drop of nevela falls into one spot, if you immediately scoop out like the inch near that spot, the tam didn't get anywhere else yet. Right? It takes time for the tam to permeate its way. I mean, obviously, if you mix it or whatever, but it takes time for the tam to make its way through the rest of the pot. So when Isser falls into a pot of heter, it gives time immediately to only to what's right next to it, and then it slowly spreads. According to the Ramah, why don't you say Chatir Nasavel in every bit of heter that the Isser attaches itself to? Meaning, as it gives time into each piece, okay, Chatir Nasavel. And then as it's spreading a second later, Chatir Nasavel, Chatir Nasavel. And therefore, I don't care how big the Chalal pot is and how small the Nevela is, it should never become batel. We should always say chatir nas nevela. Kama kama ne'asar v'nas nevela. Each little bit becomes asar, and as it becomes asar, the whole thing becomes nevela. And then you need shishim, not only connect the actual list of the film, but connect the little bit of heter that was connected to it as well. So what you have to say is that the din chanan b'shari surim is not a halacha about heter that's balua may isar becoming nevela. It's a halacha about a taroves of heter and iser. And that's why you need the idea sabaylim in order to apply chatir nas nevela. Because without it, there's no shame taroves. And chatir nas nevela is not a metzius. You know, something he's trying to do is, Shach's whole problem with Rama is, chatir nas nevela metzius. If it's a metzius, who cares if you know the elonodos? Something says, it's not a metzius. If we're a metzius, then you should need shishim connected the whole iser davuk. And you don't the heter that was davuk to the iser, and you don't need shishim keneged all of that. You only need shishim keneged the piece that fell in. Elamai, it's a halacha in a taroves of heter v'iser, and what gives it a shame taroves, or at least part of what gives it a shame taroves, is the yediyah sabayla. Your awareness of it labels it a taroves. The tour quotes from the smack in Sifhei. Shetzarach hachacham lachkor im nasnu mayim b'kedera achar shenasnu b'ha iser she'osan amayim shenasnu achar kach in mitzar from levatel iser. That any time a bittel b'shishim comes up, you have to ascertain whether the shishim was there before or after the iser. If it happened before shishim, then there's a problem. And the Torah says that the concern must be that you might have been levatel iser l'chachila. But the Torah doesn't think it's a reasonable concern that he did that on purpose. It says, V'li nira, she'ein tzarech, she'afilim hosef mayim achar kach, im lo kiven kidei levat alisr mitztarfim, t'kaim lan kol yisurin, she'riv alein shogeg mutarim b'meizid asur. Ve'en locha shem yavol lirbos b'meizid, shem banan locha she'zeh gam lo namen lo ma'ashom ha'shalom riba. He says, you're going to rely on the guy for him giving honest information anyway. So if he did it unintentionally, he should be allowed to get hana from the tarotas. So maybe the smack holds that there's important information because of Hanan and not because you think he's being dishonest. That might relate back to the. You know what, let's go back to that in a second. Let's pause for. Doesn't matter about the state of the table, then one can add Tom Pug. That was going back on that. Okay, yeah?
Two questions. Would the Rav say his Torah also by Basra Chalav or only by Shari Surah?
What do you mean? Which svara?
That it's not Mitzvah,
and
it's
just Allah and Tara. Oh. Because it seems like the Dark Moshe is there trying to explain why the Torah says that you don't need the Chakira both by Shari Surah and by Basra Chalav. So the Torah would have to work by Basra Chalav also. Yeah, it doesn't seem to work by
Basra Chalav.
Right? How would you say by Basra Chalav? You'd say the same thing, that it's a din in the Tarav, it's not a din in the Mitzvah. That's hard to say by Basra Chalav. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Also, the dark emotion, I think in his own lashon there, it sounds like he's closer, but he says the first reason, and then he says, well, I think he says the lashon like, I'm not on Yosef Be'inah,
Oh yeah, okay. So you don't need a Pisachi Tshuva to tell you that he was Chozebel, or a Shach to guess that he was Chozebel. Okay, so he's actually Chozebel. Okay, all right. So this is some of the lumdus a little bit behind these complicated cases of Bittulisim. Again, let's go over that last part, and then we'll call it a day. And tomorrow, Hashem, we'll get into different exceptions, bitulis from drabanan, when you don't have kavanah levatel, some easier, smaller topics. Today is the heaviest of the issues. So again, the Torah quotes from the Smak. Sarach hachacham lachkar im nasnu mayim b'kadera achar shenasnu b'ha iser, shosna mayim shenasnu achar kach in mitzdar from levatel the iser. You have to find out if he was marbel alav, right? If he added water afterwards, or if just the whole tarogus happened at once. That anytime bittul b'shishim comes up, the rabbi has to ask, you know, whether the shishim was there at the time of the original tarogus. So if it happened before the shishim, then you have a problem. Meaning, if there was a tarogus and then you just were marbel alav mayim, that's bittul l'chachila. So you have to make sure the guy, when someone asks a bittul question, you have to make sure he was not mevatel l'chachila. However, the Torah doesn't think that you have to really be concerned about that. Because what's the concern? That the guy said, oh no, nevela fell into my chicken soup, quick, add more chicken soup. So the Torah said, well, why are you going to worry about that? He says, li nir shein sarach. Sha'afilu im hosif mayim acharkach. Im lo kiven kidei levatel isim mitzdarfin. He says, what are the possibilities over here? Let's imagine that the nevela fell in, an ounce of nevela fell into 30 ounces of kosher chicken soup. And then the guy added another 30 ounces. Why did he do that? There are two possibilities of why he did that. One is, he just was going with the recipe, and it called for another 30 ounces. He wasn't having kavanah to be mevatel, he was just going with the recipe. In which case, it's batel. It works. Meaning, rejecting this chiluk about no da tarovas. Right? It works. And the other possibility is he realized that there's no bittul over here, so in order to create bittul, he quickly jumped and was mevatel l'chachila. But that's the other possibility. So what? You're going to ask him out of concern that maybe he was mevatel l'chachila? What's asking him going to do? You can say, oh, did you add water in because you realized that there might be a problem? Well, if he's the kind of guy who's going to be mevatelis al-chachila, he's probably the kind of guy that's going to tell the rabbi, nah, I was just following the recipe. So it doesn't make sense to require the rabbi to ask that question. You're relying on the guy for honest information anyway. If you did it, b'shogeg, you should be allowed to get anah from the tarovas. Unless you say that no, the concern is that he did it b'shogeg. Meaning the concern is not that he was mevatelis al-chachila. The concern is that he did it shogeg, but no da tarovas makes a difference. And that's why the smak is saying that you need to ask him. It's important information because of chanan. Not because we think he's being dishonest. But if there's no da tarovas, then you had chanan, and now you're not going to have shishim. So So even though the tour says, I don't understand what the smak is bothered by, why would you have to find out this information? If it was b'shogeg, it works. If it was b'mezid, he's not going to be honest with you anyway. It could very well be that the smak holds like this chiluk of nodat harovas, and that's why you want to know. The shach holds like the tur. You don't need to ask how the shishim happened. Even though the shach rejects the yisur v'hetri, he thinks that if there was not shishim at the time of the tarovas, it would be a real problem. Because achzuke but the shach says you still don't have to ask about it because achzuke isur lo mechaskinan. You don't have to be machzik an isur in a case where we don't know that there's a problem. So Solovsky thought that was a very strange svara. Right? I mean, you're going to hold that meikar adin if he actually knew about it beforehand and then added more. It's going to be usur, but you don't have to ask him if that's what happened. Because why would you be maxed? He tells you there's a tarovas. You don't have to ask what the details of the tarovas are. So I said, why not? Meaning, this is not like something that's hard to be mevara. He's just asking how it happened. Echsuke yisur lemechaskina. It's like when things are difficult, but over here you could simply ask the question. if you assume no dat harovus matters, the real svar is probably that if it was no dat harovus early, you know, it could be that the svar of the shach is, you know, that the svar not to ask is not based on the pasuk yisur l'machaskinam, but it's more than that. If the guy was no dat harovus earlier, when would he have asked the shaila? Meaning, maybe achzuki is a lama chaskinan, because chances are, from the fact that he's asking the shaila now, that it was lo no dat harovus. Because if it was no dat harovus, he would have asked the shaila as soon as it was no dat harovus. The fact that he's first coming to ask a shaila now, maybe that's why achzuki is a lama chaskinan. Okay, we'll stop there for today. Tomorrow we'll get into when you're being mevatel without kavana levatel, which we discussed a little bit in terms of the smoothies. Bitul Yisurim Drabanan, we'll discuss at much greater length. And we'll also discuss, did we discuss this when we, earlier, I don't remember if we did, about being mevatel chalav in mayim and then having the mayim with, that's the coffee creamer shayla. Right? That's the So we'll go over that temen alacha, right? So, right, if you use those non-dairy coffee creamers that have that you put into your coffee, so you're being mevatel whatever milk is in that coffee creamer, because it's very little milk that's in there. It's 2% milk, so you're putting it into the coffee. So now it becomes batel. Can you now have it after a fleishig meal without waiting 6 hours? So why is it that both Rabbi Belsky and Rabbi Shechter paskind yes that you're allowed to have it, and Rabbi Willig also? So that will be tomorrow. And also, Bittul Sakana. We'll try to finish up Sadi Tes tomorrow. So remember, it's Tuesday, it's Oshir. So try to pace yourself for finishing Sadi Tes. You know, it moves quick, and there's a lot of technicalities, and it's very hard to read through every Beis Yosef and every Shav at the pace that we're going. It's just, we're supposed to cover a lot. You know, so we're supposed to cover all of Bas B'chol, all of Tarovus, all of Machalei Akum. So if we're not gonna, you know, if you're not gonna have a chance to see every last detail, I hear it's an issue, but you know we have to. I've never done this before, so I'm not sure if I'm pacing this correctly, but I'm trying to make sure that we don't discover in May that we still have half a bus of bechalav left. And you know, okay, all right, have a great day, everybody.
So he gives information, and it looks like it's
called Mythbusters.